Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for July 16th, 2017. I'm Nima Nederi alongside Parsa Sami, and we're here this week to review the Wimbledon Championships from London, England. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. For anybody looking to get down to the US Open next month to see the final Grand Slam of the season live, make sure to hit them up for all your ticket and traveling needs. Let's introduce this week's co-host, Parsa. How are you, my friend?
Great. I'm a witness to history. What about you, Nima?
It's just, you know what, man? Incredible. The whole, you know, the final weekend was really something to behold. We had Venus Williams at the age of 37, still a very young woman coming in, you know, just, I mean, with a chance to win yet another Wimbledon title. She came up short against Muguruza, who remains a very, you know, interesting character in the sense that I think she has, I mean, she's got a couple slams, but in terms of her other tour victories, she's really done nothing. But then she comes and she's won Wimbledon this year, French last year, Wimbledon finalist the year before that. And then we have, obviously, Roger Federer. Just, I mean, this has been, what a season this has been for Federer. Comes in, wins the Australian Open, wins Miami, wins Indian Wells, wins Halle, then wins his record 8th Wimbledon title without losing a set. It's just, you know, something. You know, if you said this last year at this time, people would be like, what are you smoking? What are you talking about, right? Like, this guy's on his last legs here. He's going to be 35 next year. He's almost 36 next month. Less than a month, he's going to be 36. And lo and behold, he's standing there now with 19 Grand Slams, with 4 more than Nadal, 7 more than Djokovic. And we'll get into those guys in a second. But, you know, Parsa, in terms of today's tennis, nothing much to really talk about. The match was as straightforward as you can, you know, predict. An hour and 41 on the clock, which for a 3-set match is nothing. You know, Cilic, later we found out, was suffering from a massive blister on his left foot that began in the Query match. And then he had a tough road. He had that long match with Mueller the match before, who took out Nadal in that epic that was probably one of the most memorable matches of the fortnight. And then he comes in. No, I love Cilic. You know what I mean? He's a really hardworking guy, and I'll get into a story that I have about him from a few years back later on in the show. But I mean, you got to give credit to him. You can, you know, sense how much tennis means to him and his career. You know, opposite of a guy like Bernard Tomic, who's just out to lunch at the moment in terms of his tennis. And you know, just credit to all 4, you know, winners and finalists this weekend. And it was just awesome. I mean, you know, Parsa, what are your thoughts overall to kind of, you know, encapsulate, you know, the memory of today and what Federer was able to accomplish? I mean, you know, at the end of it all, this guy has won 19 Grand Slams, still going strong. There's no way to really say that this guy's done winning Grand Slams, with Djokovic, you know, encountering a really bad elbow injury that he says might end his season. So with him out of the equation, Murray's got a hip problem, pardon me. You know what, Wawrinka is very up and down, even though he's the defending US Open champion. Nadal is playing well. We'll see how he rebounds on the hard courts. And then you got Fed, who has only lost 2 matches this year that were pretty insignificant if you think about it. And he's won 2 Masters 1000s, a 500, and 2 majors. So, I mean,
not bad, right?
Not too shabby, exactly. And just rolling. And Murray's got over 5,000 points to defend until the end of the season. Federer, 0. And when I'm saying 0, I really mean 0. So there's no reason why either Nadal or Federer are not going to be number 1 by the end of the year. It's only a matter of time. and we're just going to have to wait and see. And as the hardcore season develops, those are definitely stories and build-ups that we're going to be focusing on. But what's your overall sense? I mean, we've been watching, you know, RF now. We're going to call him RF19, how Brad Gilbert has coined him after today's victory. What do you feel about his stance now? Like, what did we really witness today? How has, forget about today's match because we know it was extremely lopsided, but just the whole fortnight and his grass court season, including, you know, winning Halle coming in, how has he been able to do all of this? Bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, extremely impressive. But before we go there, can we also give a little bit of a shout out here to Garbine Muguruza, who,
of course,
you know, if you wanted good tennis or great tennis, she rose her level to a stratospheric level in that second set. She was just absolutely picking Williams apart.
Yes.
And it was a moment where she beat the champion. And I thought that was an incredible and obviously overshadowed by RF19. And, you know, he obviously is the story of the tournament and what everyone's going to remember. But let's not forget Garbine there. She absolutely roasted the occasion and surpassed the occasion and blew it up and was incredible. So a huge congratulations to her on a very entertaining final on something that we didn't think she would hold up. But now she showed that she could hold up, and we'll see how she does the rest of the year. But just a tremendous an applause for her and appreciation from my end. In terms of Federer, I mean, what superlative could you use to describe this man's tennis, his career, his character, his ability to rebound, to be resilient, right? That was the one thing that we didn't know, because throughout his career, he really didn't have that many injuries. He had, I think, a back injury or thigh injury pull or something that he was out for 2 or 3 months, maybe when he was 26 or 27. But other than that, we haven't seen him come back like this. And so perhaps resiliency was going to be an issue, and man, did he answer that question. Did he answer it in the biggest absolute way? Every time Nadal sort of catches up with one, boom, there's Federer increasing the gap again. When you think Djokovic is going to be the one, if you remember last year this time, I think Nima and I, we were talking about, you know, is he going to pass Federer? I'm talking about Djokovic. No,
yes.
Is it even possible? Like, it's very feasible. You know, you and I would go back and forth that he's going to win 6 of the next 8 slams. And look what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the absolute polar opposite. And that's a testament and an incredible feat by Federer to just show everybody that, hey, you know, it takes a lot to have this sort of longevity. Takes a tremendous amount of discipline, training, lifestyle, everything in order to have the longevity in his career that he's enjoying and still at the top of his game and only improving, which is scary. And he's sort of overcome the stigma, and here's a separate issue. He's overcome the stigma of what past champions used to be like. You know, I remember speaking to you maybe 4 years ago now, Nima, and I would say something to the effect of, you know, great champions are usually very stubborn in the way they play, and they're unwilling to make changes. I think it was about his racket change.
Mm.
And, you know, he's even answered that question. Yes, I am stubborn. Yes, I am a champion, and I was a little hard-headed, but he went along with the changes that him, and kudos to Anacone, because he was the one who wanted him to change the racket. He was the one who wanted him to come over his backhand more and to be more aggressive. It just took a different period of his life. After Australia last year, or after Wimbledon last year, where he got injured and took those 6 months off, he really was able to work on his game, on his health, on his fitness, and look at what the results are. It's just quite incredible and something for the storybook there.
Yeah, and you know, I remember, Parsa, actually, when we started working together back in 2010, you had come to the Rogers Cup over here in Toronto, and we were watching Federer play, and at that time, so that's 7 years ago. Federer was 28 years old, 29, basically just turned 29. And we were sitting there saying, like, you know, you can see how he's lost a little bit of a step and, you know what I'm saying, all of these different things. And I believe Murray won that tournament, 7-5, 7-5 in the final against Federer. And Djokovic was, like, number 3 in the world at that time. And Nadal was playing well. I believe that's the year Nadal also won the U.S. Open, if I'm not mistaken. But it's just amazing how, you know, we write these guys off. And, you know, Robin Soderling had an awesome point where he said that guys like Federer and Nadal, you know, they decide when they're done winning Grand Slams. You can never write them off. And you know what? He knew exactly what he was talking about, because there's been so many times throughout the last 3 or 4 years that I'm a guy who, and yourself, watching tennis every day, we're in it 24/7. We'd like to think that we know exactly what's going on, and these guys are just on a different level of commitment and organization and determination and whatever you want to talk, whatever you want to discuss about it, but it's just off the charts, man. And is Federer done winning Grand Slams? Absolutely not. I will never write this guy off again. If he wants to come back at 42, I'm still going to give him a chance, because this guy is just off the charts, especially on a grass court. Maybe his days on clay are numbered, and I think he knows that. And we could maybe even argue that a guy like Nadal should stop playing on grass and do the clay court season, take off the grass court season, and then really get honed in for the hard court season. Because realistically, with the low bouncing surface, it's not really conducive or helpful towards his game style anymore, in my humble opinion. But with that said, he can still play on this stuff. And if he had got by Mueller, maybe he beats Cilic, maybe he's in the final. And then you would like to favor him against Query too. But with that said, I mean, just an incredible effort by Federer. And is he the favorite to win the US Open as of this second? I would say yes. I would still be surprised if he won, not because of the fact that he's Federer, just because for him to win three Grand Slams in a season would just be, off the charts, especially because he didn't even play the French. But it's going to be something to see. And I mean, I'm really a little bit lost for words in this podcast, because what we witnessed today, not because today's match was a hard one for Federer to win, but the fact that he cruised throughout the tournament, beating the likes of Raonic in straight sets and Dimitrov in straight sets, and all of these guys who have put themselves into a position, Burdick, hard hitting, much bigger and stronger guys who are hitting 130 mile an hour plus serves and crushing forehands, and then Federer's just over there gliding and chopping them up, and he's like, no problem, man, give me what you got. And that's the one thing that Federer's proven throughout his career, and we've talked about this on so many different podcasts, that he nullifies power like nobody else in the game. He's amazing at backing up his own serve and just, whacking that forehand as he pleases, and his slice backhand is incredible, and everything else is incredible, and the guy's just off the charts. And it's going to be an awesome hard court season. I'd love to see the guys like Zverev, Alex Zverev, and maybe if Kyrgios gets healthy, to come back and push him a little bit. But it's just, we close the book on that. Getting to the women's side, you spoke very eloquently on Muguruza. Want to give an awesome shout out to Venus Williams, because what an inspiring, lady she is, a true class act, coming back with all of the off-court issues that she's had to deal with her, immune disorder and everything that she goes through, to come back and enjoy this game so much at 37 and some change, and just awesome, and love to see her play for another 3, 4 years if she can. And it was great. It was a great fortnight. Really happy to have witnessed it. And tennis keeps moving on, and tomorrow we're getting ready for Newport and some other smaller events, and then we'll get the Rogers Cup and Montreal and Toronto geared up, and then obviously we have Cincy and then the US Open. So just awesome stuff. I mean, Parsa, if you have nothing to add, then I want to get into a little bit on the Djokovic, Murray, and Cilic, and then we're going to wrap it up for this week.
Yeah, just one more fun stat. It's the first Grand Slam that Federer has won in where he's not lost a set since 2007, so a decade ago he reached this feat. And how many Grand Slams has he won since between that time? I'm not sure, but
yes,
it's the first time in 10 years that he hasn't lost a set in a slam, which is even more incredible, especially those names that you just pulled out that he's played this event. Just really just high level stuff, and so focused, so just knew exactly what he needed to do, when he needed to do it, why he needed to do it, and everything was very, very well put together and very well organized.
Yes. And I just want to give one more shout out to myself here for picking a Cilic-Federer final. And the reason, I was thinking about this person, the reason why I picked Cilic before the fortnight, bottom line was, that look in his eyes that I saw at Queens was like, this guy is ready to go the distance, and it's going to be tough to beat him. And it took a guy like Federer and a little bit of an injury to stop him. But I mean, Cilic is the kind of guy, person, I want to share a quick story. In 2009, I was covering the Rogers Cup in Montreal. So I went down there to cover it for the week. And I remember I was standing outside the hotel. I was staying at the Players Hotel. And I'm waiting for the bus to come pick us up to take us to the tournament venue. Cilic comes up like he's just running, and at the time he was coached by Bob Brett. Just comes like it was a very humid week. It was like in the hundreds. Super hot week in Montreal. It's the hottest week of the year actually, and it's so happened that it was during the Rogers Cup week. He comes in just pouring with sweat. He had done a couple laps around the hotel getting ready for his match later in the day, and he just comes with a smile on his face. So this is, 7, 8 years ago, and he goes to Bob Brett. He's like, "Okay, what's next?" Just with this, with this, and you could tell like this guy is into it, you know what I mean? And he's ready to go. And that work ethic that he has maximized now has taken him to becoming a U.S. Open champion, where he routed, the likes of Burdick, Federer, and Nishikori, to now making the Wimbledon final, resurrecting his career, and just playing with a lot of joy and happiness and determination. And I still see lots of good things for this guy. He's still relatively young, and I mean, watch out for this guy in the next couple of years, because he's there's no reason to think that he's going to play any, worse than he is right now, and it's only going to get better. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that from Marin, because he's a great guy, and he's, he absolutely works his butt off to get to what he has, and it's awesome to see. And just to end off here, we're going to talk about Murray and Djokovic. Parsa, if Djokovic, it's been rumored that he might be getting elbow surgery. I think he's going to the States to get some specialist's opinion. And if that's the case, I mean, he's shutting it down for the rest of this year. And coming back from an elbow injury at the age of 30, is that something where he can get back to exactly where he needs to be, in your opinion?
Absolutely. Nowadays,
Yeah,
absolutely.
nowadays, okay.
There's no doubt about it. And with this guy's work ethic, and he probably needs this break anyway, Nima, without
Mentally, yeah,
trying
he
to get
should.
into too much trouble.
Yes.
He could use a little bit of time away from the game. It could be a perfect thing for him. Obviously, an injury or surgery is never perfect, but it's something that we didn't think that Federer would make it back like this, but that was perfect timing. Sometimes out of the worst things that happen in your life, great opportunities arise, and perhaps Djokovic is facing one right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And then Murray's kind of in the same boat, right? He's having, we don't know exactly what's happening, but he said that the day after he lost to Querrey that he's going to sit down with his team, with Lendl and Co, and determine what his summer season is like. I think you're not going to see a full cast of characters at both Montreal and Cincy. Even for Fed and those guys, I think Nadal will play both, because he's going to be well rested. But Murray, Djokovic, and Federer, I would be shocked if you see those three guys play both events. I think Fed will play Cincy. I'm not sure what, I mean, Djokovic might be done, and then Murray will likely play one of those two, and then get ready for New York, which I'm looking really forward to joining you down there and covering that event. So, I mean, I think that's pretty much it for this week. I mean, it was an outstanding fortnight, a very memorable one. And, we're going to regroup now. We've had very long European swing here with the French and Wimbledon and all of the tournaments in between. And now, as we change, turn the clock back, we get back to an Eastern Standard Time, which I'm really looking forward to. We're going to be back in a few weeks to set up the Rogers Cup, and then look forward to Cincy and the US Open. And that's pretty much it, Parsa. So thank you very much for joining us this week.
Thank you. Great job.
Thank you. Thanks everybody out there for listening. Make sure to catch Parsa at Parsa Sammy on Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected. Make sure to keep following us on our Instagram page, our Facebook page. There's going to be tons of articles from all of our great writers in the next couple of weeks coming up, with a lot of gear reviews, everything, tournament reviews, and you name it. Thanks everybody once again for listening. Make sure to also check us out on iTunes. Be good. Enjoy a little bit of a break. There's still a lot of tennis coming up this week and next. And join us again in a couple weeks' time, where we preview the Rogers Cup from both Montreal and Toronto.